Humility. And if you turn on your Bibles or take up your Bibles, you'll need them momentarily. Humility. Humility. We see this as a wonderful attribute in our Lord. He wants us to manifest Him in this world that we find ourselves and to conduct ourselves in such a way that we ourselves in humility become a blessing to the people around us. Last week, you'll recall that we learned on this pathway to humility that obviously to be humble, your thinking patterns need to change from self and be on the person to whom you are going to be spending some time with. Our Lord has shared with us that He is the vine and we are the branches. We see this in John's gospel, that we are connected to Him, and through Him we are receiving the sustenance we need to manifest ourselves as fruit in this world, His fruit. People will see that unconditional love that comes forth from Him to people that He brings into His family in us. As we share the good news of the gospel, we do it not with a heavy Bible and beat people with this thing. We share with them that this is a love letter from Him. And He has great and awesome things that He wants to share with us. And we find ourselves being transformed as we come to Him, as we commit ourselves to Him, as we have confessed our sins to Him and asked Him to forgive us. We are repenting. We want our lives changed. And we become this wonderful new creation in Him. People are amazed when they see Him in you. People have been truly amazed. I've shared with you by way of illustration. My wife just went to a high school reunion. And when she went with me to our first high school reunion, people were saying, "You're a cop?" And the next reunion, "You're a pastor?" I mean, just tremendous changes take place in the lives of genuine believers. It's a beautiful thing to be on this pathway to humility. We learned last time through John Newton. He was this slave ship captain and an arrogant so-and-so at that. But he came in contact with people that were sharing the gospel. And John gives his life to the Lord Jesus, confesses and repents of his sins, and he becomes a pastor too. And you find him writing these beautiful hymns, songs, songs that become prayers on our part, put the music that we sing to the Lord Jesus, His Father, to the Holy Spirit, the three in one. I introduced you once again to C.S. Lewis last week, this atheist who is teaching at Cambridge in England, along with at Oxford University. I mean, he is a brilliant man. But he denied the Lord Jesus. But when asked to consider genuinely, intellectually, and be honest, the evidence showing that Jesus Christ is alive today and is who he claimed to be, after he checked it out on his own, he found himself saying, "My Lord and my God." He went from this arrogant atheist to this humble, sought-after professor of English literature at Cambridge and Oxford. He's the one that told us humility comes not just from feasting on Christ. It comes from fasting on ourselves. We need the fast on the me, myself, and I. And we need the feast on the great I am. And you girls are going to be learning more about the great I am in your Bible study that begins the middle of next month. So we learned that in order to find ourselves at the end of the road and embracing our Lord's humility and showing it in our lives, the first step we covered last Sunday. If you look in your notes, you'll see it. It's admit your sins honestly. Would you say that with me? Admit your sins honestly. It becomes easier and easier in humility to come to the Lord Jesus and admit our sins, because we're coming to someone who loves us. He is not mad at us. If anything, he is mad about us. He went to the cross and suffered the punishment we deserve for our sins. He loves us. So it's easy to go to him, but not take advantage of him in confessing our sins to him. Admit your sins honestly. Because when we acknowledge our sin and confess our transgressions, he tells us he'll forgive us. He will not forsake us. He will give us another opportunity to get it right. And on top of that, since the Holy Spirit lives within us, he will step forth and help us to make the necessary transformational changes in our lives to be conformed to Jesus. So we're going to look at step two this morning, and it's evaluate your strengths realistically. Would you say that with me? Let's evaluate our strengths realistically. And along with that, we look at our weaknesses as well. You've probably heard someone say on the radio, maybe a parent said it to you as a kid, that you can do whatever you put your mind to doing. And I would like to say that's true, because if it were true, I might be doing something other than what I'm doing. But, you have to have certain skills, and you have to have certain talents. You know, from the time we were born, our Heavenly Father gave us skills to do, skills that we can apply in our lives as we go forward in life, and discovering what our careers are going to be, if we're going to have a career per se. But when we are born again, we find ourselves receiving a brand new spiritual skill set. There are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives all of God's kids at the time that we are converted. With these things, we can do certain things. But one of the things I can't do, I cannot be one of these neuroscientists. I can't be one. I can't be an astronaut. I can't be a professor at a university in mathematics. And the reason I can't do those things is I don't have the skill set to be one of those kinds of people, because you need all the higher mathematics to do those things. And I barely made it out of algebra 2. So, you see, I can't do some of these things. I could never be an NBA star. You know, you've got to have certain hand-eye coordination to be, I mean, good enough to make it into college as a basketball player, and much less to get into the NBA. Now, my grandsons, they are very talented. They get it from their dad. Their dad played basketball in college. These kids, well, they're not, one's 22 and one's 17 now, But these guys, their hand-eye coordination. They dribble the ball in front of them. They dribble the ball behind them. They dribble the ball between their legs, you know, and then they shoot these three-pointers. I can't do that. I'll never be able to become an NBA star. And plus, you know, white men can't jump. So, yeah. So the fact is, look at your notes there, to deal with pride in your life, to deal with pride in your life, you need to honestly evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses. Be honest when you consider these things. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3 here. Paul is speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit to the Roman church family. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of you as he has been speaking to me throughout the week about this message. He says here, "For by grace, by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So let's look a little more closely here. Paul has been given a set of spiritual gifts that allow him to serve the Lord as an ambassador, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given you as well a certain skill set of spiritual gifts to be used in serving him. As we go on here, it says, he says, "I say to everyone among you, men and women, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think." We are not to have an inflated view of ourselves, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. My grace gifts do not make me superior to anyone in this room or anyone out there in the rest of the world. Your grace gifts don't make you superior to anyone either. But these grace gifts have been given to you to be used in the power of God the Holy Spirit. These wonderful gifts that we have. I mean, I had no idea when I came to faith. Well, I might have had an idea, but I thought Kathy was wrong. Because when we're engaged, she's telling me she's going to be married to a man who is full-time in the ministry. I'm on my way to being a police officer, not a pastor. But 10, 12 years later, she was a prophet in our house. So it worked out that way. So we need to be honest in our estimation of ourselves, measuring our value by how much faith, by how much of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. So here's your action step, your fill-in. For you who are new with us, if you're not familiar with action steps, the Word of God, when it is taught us, we are now responsible for it. And being responsible for what the Holy Spirit has now revealed, we are to take an action as an individual. We are to do something that you will discover during your gnosko time, your DPE, your deep personal experience time with the Lord, how you are to apply this in your lives. So here's the action step. Pride is based on a false image of oneself. Humility is based on a true, realistic image. Humility is being honest about both your strengths and your weaknesses. So be honest. Be honest and admit your sins to the Lord Jesus. And be honest about your strengths and weaknesses. The third step on this road to humility is enjoy success gracefully. Enjoy success gracefully. Say that with me. Enjoy success gracefully. The fact is, every day, well, that's not a fact. I would like to be able to say, every day, I remind myself of two pride-busting, arrogance-busting truths. And the first one is this. Everything we have is a gift from Father God. Everything. Everything we have. And we know that from the teaching that we went through over a year ago regarding God's giving, the way he wants us to be generous and to be giving of the things that he has provided us. When we became his sons or his daughters, he gave us a managerial position in his household. We became managers, stewards of a measure of his assets. He gave them to us to use, to protect, and to be generous with. So first, everything we have is a gift from Father God. Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive?" The answer is, really, is nothing. I've received everything that I have. "If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Oh, I've got this 5-figure, 6-figure, 7-figure income. You know, I've just got this brilliant mind. You know, just I wowed them in college, and I met all the right people, and I. No, it isn't I. It is he who is the one who gave you this brilliant mind to put to work for the career that you have been going towards. He's been preparing you for that. He's been involved every step along the way. If you're not aware, this particular passage that we just read in 1 Corinthians, the context is humility. And it's there for us to see and to own the truth of the matter, and that is that a genuine believer, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, their position is to be one of humility. This is just part and parcel of being a genuine Christian. But humility is not the only gift that he has given us. So why are some of you all puffed up about yourself and your career and things like that? You need to ask yourself, what do I have that Abba has not provided? And then you will find that there is nothing you have that he has not provided you. The truth is, we would not even receive our... Well, let's do it this way. Everybody, okay, you looking at me? You know, last week I wanted a smile from you, okay? This week, you don't have to give me a smile. You want to give me a frown? Go ahead. But what you have to give me now is take a deep breath, blow it out. Oh, someone needs to brush their teeth. No, take another deep breath. Take a deep breath and hold it. Hold it. Anything he does in your life, everything that's going on, he's part of it. And he's the one that's going to give you your next breath. Maybe. Blow it out. Nobody passed out. Okay. He still has ministry for you to do. You're still here. And he's got a plan for you. Tom, do you still need some help with greeters and ushers? Oh, do you? Okay. Hey, how many of you can put your hand out like this? Let's see. Put your hand out. Go ahead. Put your hand out. Come on. Okay. And I think you all smiled last week, except Brett. He had the work. So he's smiling now. I can tell that beard just accentuates it. Okay. Now, all he needs is people that can smile and extend a warm hand. Oh, well, I have cold hands, right? Warm them up. And then, you know, good morning. Happy to meet you. He has a ministry for you, folks, that may not have a ministry at this time. So, anything he does in your life, your career, your ministry, it's not about you. It's all about him. The action step is hard to be prideful when you realize that one day every one of your secrets will be exposed. It is humbling. It is a humbling realization. So admit your sins honestly. Evaluate your strengths realistically. Enjoy your success gracefully and gratefully. And step four, serve others unselfishly. Serve others unselfishly. You just say that with me. Serve others unselfishly. All right. Thank you, GHCC electricians. Thank you, all who went out there. And those of you that were willing to go out and check and sacrifice yourself. So serve others unselfishly. Turn to the person next to you and tell them the Lord would have us serve others unselfishly. Tell them that. A selfish, prideful life is not Jesus' purpose for you. A selfish, prideful life is not Jesus' purpose for you. The fact is this, the greatest antidote to pride is to give yourself away. Give yourself away by helping others. It is the only way to live more happily and humbly, by giving yourself away. Think about this. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others, provide them the eternal life-giving gospel. As someone provided that for you, I had the joy of providing it to some of you. This is why you're still here. If for nothing else, you are here to give the life-giving good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus, to those who have yet to hear and understand it. That is your primary purpose in life still remaining here on earth. Provide them with eternal life, the eternal life-giving gospel. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. At least don't hurt them. We owe them agape. We owe them that unconditional life-giving love that seeks the other person's best and highest good at your expense or mine. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:16, your notes say 13:16, but it's 12:16, chapter 12. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony. He's saying, have the same attitude as your brother or your sister. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not be proud. Do not be arrogant. Don't be thinking more highly of yourself than you're supposed to. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Excuse me. One of the things that I enjoy doing when Kathy and I are at our timeshare on Maui, it's not going out and learning who the new manager is and getting close to him or her so that I might get them to do something for me in the course of time. I spend time with the valets, the bell guys, and the people at the front desk. I feel comfortable with them. And all of the bell guys and the people at the front desk, they've given me a Hawaiian name. They call me, in Hawaiian, the prankster. I really like being with these regular kind of people. I'm a kolohi. Here comes the kolohi. But I found out that Cindy, who works at the front desk, she is a greater kolohi than me. So, and she's there all the time. But I enjoy being with them. While Kathy is enjoying our daughters or our grandkids, I'm out getting coffee. I go to this coffee place. It's called Bad Donkey. You know, it's really another word for donkey. But it's Bad Donkey coffee. And I bring back not just iced coffee for me. I bring back four other iced coffees because the morning shift of the bell guys, there's just four of them. So I bring that back, and the barista, she gives me some cream and some sugar and, you know, and the straws to bring back for the guys. Do that 3-4 times over the time that we're there. Just because I like associating with those that get their hands dirty, you know, and get perspiration on their brow. So our encouragement to us this morning is, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And I know that's not easy, because our humanness wants to be human. It wants to sin. I am looking forward to the day that I am less all of the sinful parts and more of the non-sinful parts. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul talking to the church at Philippi and the Holy Spirit, he wants you to hear what he has to say, just as he was grabbing me this week. He says, to you, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility. in lowliness. Count others more significant than yourself. More significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his or her own interests, but also to the interests of others. Putting other people ahead of ourselves. Blessing them with the assets that we are managers of that are not ours but belong to him. Being aware of needs and coming alongside. Developing in your deep personal experience time with the Lord the fruit of the Spirit, where you find yourself being more compassionate than normal. You're growing in this time, these times of compassion, in these times of being forgiving. We've been forgiven everything we've ever done wrong or will do wrong. We need to be forgiving. I know in our humanness, we don't want to at times. But we need to declare that's our humanness and that's sinfulness. Don't be selfish. Do not live to make a good impression on other people. Be humble. Be humble with anyone. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Some people don't like that idea. They want to be better than other people. We're to look at ourselves as less significant than other people. Do not just think about your own interests, but be interested in others' interests and what they're doing. Your action step. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. We need to get so busy serving others that we do not have time for our own puny gripes and complaints. Those of you that have served in the military, I found this when I was in, but we had one thing that maybe you didn't. There was a war going on. The guys that were griping the most were not the kids that were out on, quote unquote, front lines. We didn't have front lines. But were out there facing the enemy. They didn't have the complaints. If they had a complaint, it was because they were hurting because they had been shot or wounded by some weapon. The people that were complaining were like the supply staff who were back at the major bases that were well protected, and they were really bored to death. The food was lousy. You know, the sleeping arrangements were lousy. Would have loved to have them out in the rain in a parka with your pot on and getting soaked for hours on end by a monsoon. They had it good. We need to get so busy serving others that we do not have time for our own puny gripes and complaints. Family, I realize some of you are spending a lot of time focused on others. And I want to say to you, attaboy, attagirl, good job, good job. Service is at the core of your calling, but it is always important to examine your motives. Why are you serving? because you're dead bang nuts about Jesus. Or, you know, Ron makes me feel guilty. He did that. He made me put my hand out there. Other people saw it. Question. Here's your fill-in. Are you serving others in order to build your ministry up for your ego or to see people conform to the image of Jesus? I hope it's to see people conform to the image of Jesus. And that takes place during your DPE. So admit your sins honestly. Evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses realistically. Enjoy your success gracefully and gratefully, and serve others unselfishly. And the last step is depend on Jesus continually. Depend on our Lord. Depend on Him. Say that with me. Depend on Jesus continually. Okay. In essence, depending upon Jesus is how we express humility. We're not depending on ourselves. We're depending on the Godhead. We're depending on a loving Heavenly Father. We're depending on a righteous, gracious Savior, Redeemer, friend, and a Holy Spirit that walks with us every single moment of every single day. The fact is this: dependence is the heart of humility. Jesus did not design us to be independent, but dependent on Him. Stress often comes from taking upon ourselves what we should never have done. We should have never taken certain things into our life. You probably know a brother or a sister who does that. The fact is, the Word of God promises great blessings. I mean, Tony the Tiger type of blessings. Great blessings when we are humble and dependent upon Jesus. Stress will go away. Humble, kind words. I forget who said this, but I wanted to share them with you. Humble, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes. These humble, short words, their echoes are truly endless. Humble, kind words. Proverbs 21:21. It says, whoever pursues righteousness, this is the word hesed here. It is a righteous, loyal love. It is a word that we often translate into the Greek as this agape kind of love, seeking the other person's best and highest good at our expense. Whoever pursues this righteous, loyal love and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. The evil one came to steal and to kill, but Jesus came to give us a life that is abundant. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. In Proverbs 22:4, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. You see, humility and the fear of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, they go together. When we worship Him, we're worshiping Him in humility. We're humble before Him. He is God, we are not. He is great, we are not. He is infinite, and we are not at the moment. When we go to be with Him, we will become eternal beings. Respecting the Lord is not being proud. Respecting the Lord is not being proud. respecting the Lord and being humble will bring us wonderful grace gifts from Him. You will never get rid of all the stress in your life, but you can depend upon Jesus for the ultimate outcome. Your circumstances do not have to determine your response. Just a thought. Pride is not always bad. There is a godly pride and a sinful pride that I mentioned last Sunday. Regularly in the New Testament, Paul says, I am proud of you. He was proud of the growth that he saw in the churches, numerically, spiritually. And the churches were also demonstrating faithfulness as the church began to grow and to expand. It is a joy to see others succeed. It was a joy to watch Andrew write, Ronald write, to go into the military. Goals that they had from high school, and not just to be Marines and be a trooper, but to be the best they could be in those branches of the service. And to come home. And to come home having done so very well. And they're pursuing their goals now that they established when they were in the military. And Andrew before he was in the military. It is a wonderful thing to watch these people who were told as they were growing up that people were proud of them. I hope you've told them how proud you are of them for having protected us while they were in the military. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your family or your ministry, unless you're taking this and throwing it in somebody's face. Then it becomes arrogance. So we need to be careful that our being proud of someone and what they have done is not something that becomes selfish pride. On our part. Look at your notes. Remember, never forget pride is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Selfish pride will wreak havoc on our lives and devastate our ministries. Pride will destroy a marriage. Arrogance will destroy almost any kind of relationship you have with another human being. The fact is, Abba Father is more concerned about your ultimate good than our temporary pleasure. He wants to see us transformed and will do whatever is necessary to help us be transformed. That we become conformed to the image of the Son. Outwardly, you may be an extremely successful Christian father, mother, grandparent, or leader, but your success is not about you. It is about what Jesus will do or has done through you. It is about grace, and His grace will help you overcome the unholy Trinity that we have met so many times in teaching. So your action step is here before you regarding this road to humility. Depend on Jesus continually. Serve others unselfishly. enjoy success gratefully and gracefully. Evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses realistically and admit your sins honestly. Get it? Good. Let's pray and thank him for his teaching. Abba, Father, thank you so very much for calling us to an attribute that we see all the time in you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. And an attribute that you want to see blossoming in the lives of each and every one of your sons and daughters. So, Father, may we take these simple, simple steps and apply them in our lives, and to attempt to do that daily and to be reminded of them in our deep personal experiences with you. May we be examples for others to follow. Our children, should we have them. Our grandchildren, should we be fortunate enough to have them. People we work with, may they see your humility active in our lives, that we might hear you one day say, "Well done, daughter. Well done, son. You've been a good and faithful servant." For I ask this in the name, the only name by which this can take place in our lives, your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.